This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello. How are we looking? We're back on the Jim Day podcast. Excited about this one because I love this dude. Who doesn't love Brent Suter? I mean, seriously, he's over there laughing, but honest to goodness, who doesn't love Brent Suter? Got to be around this guy like 2 minutes and like, that's a good dude. Am I embarrassing you right now?
A little bit. A little red right now, but I appreciate the love.
All right, let's jump right into it. I have you for limited time today. I got to turn him loose because the Lord is calling.
Mm-hmm.
You got a little Bible study to go to, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Sorry. That, you know what? You've already set the tone for this podcast. That's great. So, All good. It's Mrs. Jim Day and Mr. Brent Suter right here. How about being red? So, I mean, it's been short-lived so far, right. But... How's this taste been?
It's unbelievable, man. We're so lucky, so blessed, and being able to be at home with the kiddos and then come drop my son off at school, hang out a little bit, and come right to work and see them after the game. My parents are coming to every game. My family and friends are there all the time, so it's just crazy cool, and what a blessing.
I imagine you're going to be able to have some teammate events at your house, right? Assuming you're that type of guy.
Absolutely. Yeah, we had the bullpen guys over.
Oh, you've already done it.
Yeah, already done it. Had the bullpen guys over on that off day last Thursday, and then
did they trash the house?
You know, there were like six kids there, and the house was pretty good shape. Quick little cleanup after, and we were golden. So, and then we're finishing our back patio. But once that's done, and it's nice outside, we'll be able to have the whole team over there. So we're really looking forward to that, but definitely so far just the bullpen gathering has been a hit so far. It's been good.
Very nice. How's that bullpen down there? Because that's one of the unique parts of baseball. I love the bullpen.
Yep.
Because you guys have a lot of time on your hands.
Right. A lot of
if things are going well, particularly you have a lot of time on your hands.
Yeah.
But there's a how's the banter? How's this group? Because you've been in many bullpens.
It is up there. It's tied for the best or the best.
Really?
You know, kind of camaraderie. Everyone's pulling for each other. Got a lot of different ways to beat you down there, like a lot of different looks, a lot of different roles that guys can, you know, hats that guys can wear down there. So it's been really, really fun. We've got great group of guys, first and foremost. But, you know, Matt Tracy, Joe Singley, Jose Duarte, they do a great job of
Those are the coaches down there, and the bullpen catcher.
Yep. They do a great job setting the tone, saying, hey, this is how we operate. We're professional. We have some fun. But when it's time to work, we get after it. And they're always, you know, giving us good juice, you know, good cup filling, if you will, out there. And the guys, it's fun. Fans right there are really awesome, too. They've been really supportive. And every time we come in the bullpen, they go crazy. So that's been really cool. And obviously, we lost one of our mates, TJ Antone, this week, which was a big bummer. But TJ would always be hyping up the crowd when we were walking out there.
Really?
Yeah, it was great. We need a new hype man.
He said that you guys became close in a very short amount of time, and he had pointed to both you are Christians, and you've got that connection, but the connection is real. And you brought up TJ. It's something I wanted to talk about. Let's jump right into this. It was just a terrible scene to watch, and unfortunately, I've now watched it a couple times.
Yeah,
of him blowing out his elbow and the emotions that followed, I hope TJ doesn't mind me sharing this, but he, in this last incident, he came off the mound, he came down the steps, and he immediately went to his knees and just started crying. I mean, he knew. He's been through it before. He knew his elbow was blown out again.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes to the training room, and you come on for him. You picked him up big time, by the way. But he told the story that all of a sudden the training room door opens, and here comes Brent Suter. and you came in there to console him. And at the time, he didn't know you were still pitching.
Yeah,
you. This was like you pitched an inning. You came in and saw him. And then you went back out and pitched, which he didn't know at the time, but he thought that that was just one of the, just, it was so great. It says everything about you. Can you take us through that scene?
Yeah. So obviously, you know, he had that, you know, unfortunate injury happen. I knew I was going to be the guy next. So I did my best to try to go out there, warm up quick, pick him up, get us back in the dugout and hitting again. But yeah, as soon as I came in the dugout, I was just like, all right, where's TJ? You know what I mean? And so I went and tried to find him. He was actually the first inning. He was in the doctor's office, so I didn't get to see him after the first inning. But in between the second and third innings, I got to give him a big hug and just to say, "Hey, man, we're all with you. Anything you need, we got your back, and we're here for you." You know, I mean, we're brothers, so we wanted to be there for him. And went out and pitched the third inning, and then came back in. I think I saw him again, and all after the game, all the bullpen guys went right to him. Like, you know, we were touching on it before, but bullpen, big family, family vibes. You're kind of, you're a team within the team,
right.
And you all have each other's backs. There is a lot of time that you're sitting watching the game and able to get to know each other, and you prepare together. It's definitely a family atmosphere out there. So everyone went right up to TJ and consoled him. But gosh, what a guy he is, and what a journey he's been on with his elbow. And I'm hoping and praying that this one, you know, this surgery can make it, you'll fix it, or he can even pitch again.
Says he wants to try.
Yeah, I mean, that would be incredible, right? What a story that would be. But just in the meantime, we're just all here for him, and I know Reds Nation's here for him too.
Yeah, no question. You've been through that, have you?
Yep.
You went through Tommy John,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, in 2018. Yeah, it was a weird kind of fluke play. I dove and tagged a guy out, and it partially sprained it, and then after that it like fully blew out. But it actually happened on like a more of a physical play, like a diving play, and being a guy throwing mid to high 80s, I did not think I would be getting TJ. You know, I thought, I was like, I don't throw hard enough, but apparently you do. Apparently I did. So got that, talked to Kremchek, did the surgery in late July 2018, and I've had zero issues since. It's been amazing.
Wow. It's a tough process, though, man. That's a lonely year, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a long rehab process. Fortunately, the Brewers were great. They let me rehab here at home with Crenshaw's team in the offseason, and then went to Arizona and had a brand-new facility they just refurnished there in Maryvale for the Brewers' spring training, and it was like a rehabber's paradise. It was everything you needed and more.
Oh, nice.
And I was able to get a great team around me and a lot of other guys that were going through either TJ or other kind of rehab processes around me, and it was actually very much enjoyable given the circumstances. Yeah. About as good as it could have been.
Gosh, you just said TJ as in Tommy John surgery, and it's TJ Antonio. Could you imagine three
and then a fourth, like plex, I think. Yeah. This would be the fourth like elbow. Yeah. Surgery he's gone under. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine.
Well,
it's
just
insane.
Yeah, the pain of, I mean, he said the pain last time rehabbing was just intense.
Yeah,
really intense. So
yep.
We wish him the best, but man, when I heard that, it just says a lot about you as a person. So everyone has glowing things to say about you, and you know this. You're a humble guy. I know you're humble, but you know this, you feel this, that people are drawn to you, right?
You know what, I very much appreciate the love. I know I try to just live out my faith. I try to live as treat others how I want to be treated, you know. Sometimes it comes off the wrong way maybe to people. I don't know. I've had definitely some teammates who haven't liked me, let's be honest. It's just...
Hold on a second.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
I'm not going to name them, but there have been, you know, just some, you know, people who thought I was phony or thought it was fake or something like that. And, you know, it's tough to fake it over 162.
That sounds like a them problem.
Right. I don't know, but I definitely... Sometimes people don't handle the impersonations well, so I... We'll do their impersonation that it doesn't go well, and then
you impersonate them.
Yeah, I impersonate them. I gotta get them, and that just sometimes it doesn't go over great, so that can kind of rub them the wrong way.
All right, who are you working on? You got anyone on the team?
I really need to get David Bell going. So,
oh my gosh, please!
You know,
really?
It's just one of those, like, he's really relaxed. You know, I mean, he's like, TJ's an amazing, guy. You know, he's very like relaxed and like so genuine in his, you know, love for the guys, but it's just so deadpan and so like, seriously, yeah, we gave it our best out there. We're connected. You know, we're connected. It's just relaxed. We're relaxed. You know, stuff like that. I don't know. I'm working on it, though. It's a work in progress. It's a work in progress.
When I asked you that question, I didn't expect that.
No,
I didn't expect David Bell to come out. That's beautiful.
You know, I did the DJ, Derek Johnson, our pitching coach.
Yes.
I had him for 3 years in Milwaukee, so I felt comfortable doing this. But, like, second week of camp,
we
had the Reds Got Talent, and I did, you know, do his little walk coming out with a little goatee, and I go, good morning, lads. Good morning, lads. We're gonna practice our resets here. We're gonna get ready for the sound show.
He says lions.
Lions.
Like, he says lions?
So, he called us lions for, like, the first week of camp. It was his theme of the year, and then I did that impression, and now he hasn't said it since. He's been like, you ruined it. I was like, no, I didn't want to ruin that. But it was like, good morning, lads. Good morning, lads. Yeah, he's got that kind of harsh S.
I mean, Reds fans have watched the walkout to the mound. He does got the arms.
He's got the arms swinging. He's got apparently his own walkout, sweet emotion.
He does.
Aerosmith
now. Aerosmith. Did that story on the air where he may be the only pitching coach that has walkout music. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's a great song. It's a great song.
he told him. He's like, they're like, we're going to give you a walk-up song. He said, I'm a rock and roll guy. Said, what do you want? He's like, just give me something good, you know, DJ.
yeah.
just like, whatever it is, make it good.
Right.
who else you got? Are we working on anyone else there?
David Bell is the big project I need.
Lions.
Jared House. I got a little like...
Oh.
Yeah, hey guy Roa, Hines, we're gonna get field three. You know, we gotta work on work on our routines here. Hurry up. It's fun. It's Reds Main Mall. We're hustling. We're doing some great things here. You know what I mean? It's fun. Everything's good. Luke Maley's got a killer JR House.
Does
killer.
He really?
Oh, it's great.
Oh, I need to see. Luke is so serious when you go on the record. I mean, I just had him on the podcast.
Yeah.
And he great insight, by the way. Always great insight. But he's afraid to, I knew he's the bus guy, right?
Right.
How'd you find out? I'm the bus guy. I'm going to have to talk to someone. How'd you find out? It's not that big of a secret.
Right.
Word gets around. But he wouldn't give me any, you know, stuff that goes on.
Oh, you got to get his JR.
All right. I'm going to have to work on that one.
Yep.
But you got some famous. By the way, I should have said this earlier. You are the only, I've been doing this, I don't know how many years, we're well over 100 episodes. You are the only opposing player that's ever been on this podcast.
Wow.
When you were a Brewer.
Wow.
Do you remember doing the podcast?
Yeah, I remember I was the first at the time. I didn't know I'm still the only one.
Oh, you're still the only one. Wow. No, I don't like other teams, Brent.
Quite not.
No.
We don't usually associate with the others.
Exactly. But you were the only one.
Wow.
Still.
Appreciate
the
that.
Only opponent. And here you are back.
That's cool.
And I think you did... I mean, your Jim Carrey impersonation is legendary. We did some of that.
Yep.
But who else are the national people that you do?
You know, I did like the Harry Carey. You know what I mean? Like, hey, everybody, if the moon was made of blue cheese, would you eat it? Heck, I know I would. The cubbies are working hard, running around. You know, all this. It's kind of like a Will Ferrell impression. Like, I'm doing impersonation of Will Ferrell's impersonation of Harry Carey, but
that's great.
Yeah, and then like a little Bobby, like Adam Sandler, like, it's some high quality H2O. It's Bobby Boucher. You know, it's Bobby Boucher. I got to play football in my mind. You know, I got to get that Louisiana Bayou cookie. You know, it's just so good. You know, something like that.
Okay, let's do this. Let's play a little game, should we? Shall we? I'm going to ask you a question about maybe Reds players, maybe your bullpen guys, but I'm going to ask other people the question. So,
yeah.
Harry Carey, let's bring you into the podcast here. What do you think about Buck Farmer's beard?
I'll tell you what, I tried to grow one of those a couple of years ago. It just turned into a bunch of little stubbles. I had to shave it right off. Buck Farmer's beard is so luscious and full, I feel like I could dip my beer in it. It'd make it taste better. It's so good.
Wow. Adam Sandler, I'd like to ask you a question, if you could. Your pitching coach, Derek Johnson, has an unusual walk. Do you think he's a movie material in the future?
Yeah, it's something that I've been trying to get a couple years now. He's got a big swing of his arms, okay? He's got a little hip swizzle, all right? It's so cool to watch. I think it could get some tickets sold in the movies, you know what I mean? I think it could.
let's bring in Jim Carrey. Jim, David Bell's the manager of the Reds. And I know you're a massive Reds fan. Can we liven him up a little bit?
You know, I've been trying to do that for years now, Jim. It's one of those things. It's like an egg, and you're trying to cook it, and it just the egg won't crack. It's just very, very thick and very genuine. There's a lot of good stuff in there in that yolk, but a lot of things that need to be going into that egg to crack that shell. But it's very serious, very Dixie Chick serious. And I'm telling you what, I'm going to get there one day. I'll take care and I'll buy by then.
I love this. I'm crying over here. I got limited time with you. I don't know how much I should do. I should just keep doing the rolling with the impressions. I mean, heck with the other stuff. I wanted to ask you about opening day and all kinds of stuff, but I'm rolling over here. So some people get sick of the impressions.
If they don't take it well of themselves being impersonated,
oh, yeah,
then it can get a little tense. You know what I mean? Like that's I've had that with a couple guys where I tried to, like, felt like got a line on them or two and started doing it, and they're like, and then I gave it a couple weeks, tried it again, you know what I mean? So it happened. Not everyone has the ability to laugh at themselves. You know, I think it's a crucial ability in life, if I'm being honest. You got to be able to laugh at yourself, but some people just don't have it yet, so that always leads to a little tension.
Well, some people, I'm so self-deprecating that people get sick of it, so I tried to, believe it or not, I'm overboard with it. So I'm trying to love myself, Brent.
Do self-care. Do
self-care.
It. Self-care is big.
Trying to love myself a little more so people don't get upset with me.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's very ironic. Like, you're too self-deprecating. You know,
no, I've heard it before.
Self-deprecating to the point of, like, people are like, you're over. Yeah.
It's like someone didn't listen to the podcast anymore or something. I got a message. Because I'm always making fun of myself, and it's as if I don't belong to interview you.
What? If that is going on in your brain, I feel sorry for your brain at the end of each day.
That's it's a tough brain.
All right, I do want to ask you about opening day and other things, and we'll do that right after this with Brent Suter.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, we're back with Suter, Jim Carrey, Harry Carey, Adam Sandler, Derek Johnson, David Bell. You never know what's going to go out. All right, opening day. You would, I found it interesting. You grew up a Reds fan, obviously, in Cincinnati.
Yep.
Went to games, obviously, but had never had the privilege of going to opening day because you were a student. You were there to study. You didn't get out of school for that stuff. Yeah. Went to Harvard, by the way, so it paid off. But your first opening day, man, what was it like?
It was amazing. Just all the excitement around it. You know, I knew my whole family, everybody was down here partying. I saw the pictures of, like, the Holy Grail walkway.
The block game. Party's the amazing block picture.
Oh, my gosh.
Picture, isn't it?
It was crazy. And
no one, I mean, we say it, no one does opening day like Cincinnati.
No, it's true.
People are like, oh, they're just hyping it up. It's absolutely true.
Absolutely a holiday. Yeah, it's an absolute holiday. So that was crazy awesome. And then I got to catch first pitch from Sean Casey. Which I grew up watching him, and he was one of my favorite players growing up, so that was really cool. And he's really involved in the Joe Nuxhall Miracle League, so Kim Nuxhall has known him forever and always told me, like, you got to know Sean. And I'd met him before, but it was
you
great
guys
to,
are a lot alike.
Great to get to know him. It was
you have some Sean Casey in you, and that is an ultimate compliment.
I was going to say that is a great thank you very much. That's a very nice thing to say. And so yeah, he's the man. So caught his first pitch, and then I got to come in the eighth and ninth innings and close the win down. And that was
how about that?
Really cool. That was really cool.
I mean,
cool.
You had never pitched on opening day, right?
Right.
You had never had the opportunity of, 9-year career or something?
Yeah, I think it was my seventh opening day. So, yeah, I hadn't pitched in any. But, got to pitch in that one. And that
was, close it down!
Of anyone, that was the one probably you want to get in. And that was cool. Yeah. So, just celebrated that night. My brother was in town, family was all there, so we came back to the house and just Enjoyed it. We played with the kiddos and really soaked it in. So that was a really special day.
Did you have a moment where you realized, where you knew you were going to be a Red, obviously, and signed the contract? It might have even been during that time. But did you have a moment where you saw your name on the uniform? You put the uniform on. Were there several moments where it hit you?
Several moments. When I came in, saw my locker, Brent Suter there with the jersey hanging. It was amazing. Putting the jersey on, I kept putting it on every day, even though there were some days we didn't really necessarily need to wear it because just like, oh my gosh, I get to wear the Reds jersey, really special. And then brought my kiddos in when we had that like cookout in spring training, brought my kiddos in the clubhouse, and we took some pictures in front of my locker and stuff. That was really cool. And then, yeah, obviously opening day with standing on the line there with the helicopter flyover and hearing everyone go crazy and knowing I'm playing at home for the Reds, it was goosebumps big time.
I loved it. I had goosebumps that day. I'm like, this is perfect. This is perfect. I mean, the martini stole the show.
Right.
But it was perfect for you to be on the mound and to close it down on that day. So it was great. Have you ever, I love watching you pitch because, you know, especially before the pitch clock, but I mean, now it's quicker, but before the pitch clock, you were a dream. He works fast. He throws strikes. Love him. I mean, you were on the opposing team. I'm like, bring in Suter. This game's like 3 hours old. We need Suter. And you've got, you know, the funky delivery, the funky setup, and you're getting guys out at like 88 to 90, which I just love.
Yeah. It's something that definitely the weird delivery and weird, that was all by design. You know, I learned throughout the levels, like what worked, what didn't.
Designed for deception.
Yes. Where I stand on the rubber, how I come set, you know, entry angle, all that stuff is for design. If I'm not at those spots that I know I need to be at, it turns into worst results. So definitely it's one of those things like, it's all by design. I pitch a lot different than I did in college, so I'll have college teammates watch me pitch and be like, dude, what the heck happened to your delivery? You know what I mean? Like, what's going on here? I was way more straight up. You know, I was kind of threw maybe a little harder, but I was way straighter. So I've been definitely morphing into a different pitcher here along the pro ball journey, but it's what I got to do to get outs. I know I'm not going to be a guy throwing 95-plus, so I got to find a way to movement, location, and deception take over.
What is the hardest pitch you've ever thrown at any point?
So in the big leagues, 91.8, and then
91.8. You got the 0.8.
Yeah.
You got to give me the point. It's like, you know, I'm 6'2.5. I'm 6'3.
And then I think I hit 93 when I was in the Cape Cod League. I was told I hit 93 in the gun,
really,
like in between my junior and senior year of college. So that was the hardest I've thrown ever, I guess, on the radar gun.
When you see all these guys coming out of the pen now and they're just flame throwing triple digits out, have you ever dreamed, I wish I could just throw one pitch 100 miles per hour?
Definitely. I'm like, what does that feel like? Because when I throw, like, when I feel someone get on, like a step on one, I'm like, oh, that felt cool out of my hand. It's like, sweet, 90. Got it. You know what I mean? And they're like 10 miles an hour hard. I'm just like, I would love to feel that just once, like out of the hand, like what that feels like. What that feels like with your like shoulder layback, everything. It's just crazy, crazy cool what the human body can do. And I can't do it like that.
I mean, like Hunter Green, his slider is
on my fastball. Yeah.
I don't mean that as a shot.
No.
Because I love guys that can, I mean, it's all about location and movement, man, and deception. And pitch selection,
right,
and fooling guys that way. So I love the thinking man's pitcher. I love the crafty lefty. So I enjoy watching you pitch. So I mean nothing bad about that his slider is harder than your fastball. So
It is.
Kudos to you.
Appreciate it.
Have you always been a guy? I mean, do you think, what's the amount, most innings you pitched this season?
In the big leagues, 100 and... I think right before I went down with TJ, because I was mostly a starter then, 101 or 102, something like that. And then in the minor leagues, like 140 when I was a starter. I've been about right around like 70 innings the last three or four years.
Well, you could have played back in the day. You could have played back. The guys are throwing tremendous amount.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. I feel like I bounce back better now than I did years ago. So I definitely feel like my routine and nutrition and sleep and all that stuff, I'm in a place where I can recover better and throw a lot more. So got to keep it going.
So this bullpen, you think over the long haul, you guys going to be pretty good?
Oh, yeah. I do. I believe in each and every one of those guys when they take the ball. And it's a great unit, like I said. And We've got a lot of ways to beat you and got some studs too, some guys who with some big cojones, if you will. And that's a really good thing to have in the bullpen.
I want to talk to him about his house. You're like, what? We'll do it after this.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
We're back with the environmentally friendly Brent Suter. Mm-hmm. One day, I think we talked about this on the previous podcast. We're going to talk about it again. You want to go off the grid, right?
Yeah.
With
yeah.
your house.
Find a way to be self-sustaining with power, maybe grow at least 60% of my own food. You know, I mean, in terms of the vegetation, I'm not going to be raising cattle in my house or anything like that, or raising chickens, but definitely for vegetables and fruits, I would love to be able to grow my own after baseball, of course. But until then, I want to get a bunch of solar panels, maybe even get a geothermal system set up and do compost, and which we already do some compost, but definitely want to be as little dependence on the grid as possible.
And this will be in Cincinnati, right? You're not talking about moving to a cabin in Montana, and we'll never hear from Prince.
No, nope, want
to
be right here.
So, what does this involve? I mean, a massive amount of solar panels, I would imagine.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, a good amount for sure. And then the geothermal system. I'm still trying to find out if we can put one in. Usually, you do it during the build, like during home builds, but post build, it gets a little bit tricky. But love to be. They basically dig a pipe down anywhere between 60 and 400 feet down in the ground and use that as like a constant heat provider. So if it's colder than that, at the 60 degree temperature in the ground, they use like a heat transfer system to get your house conditioned either hot or cold. So it's a really cool system, but not sure if I can put that one in. But solar panels, big time. And then we do like the Duke Energy clean energy, pay a little extra for getting clean renewable energy going into our house. So stuff like that can add up, but definitely want to explore every option possible.
See, God didn't give you the 100-mile-per-hour fastball, but he gave you brains. How hard was Harvard?
It was challenging. Like, it depended on what courses you took to, like, how challenging it was. But I took a pretty challenging course load because I did a bunch of science, math, econ. I did all my pre-med requirements, so there was a lot of challenging, especially chemistry. Organic chemistry was really tough, but that's tough everywhere. But it was definitely dependent on what courses you took. You could find some relatively easy classes for your electives and all that, but it was a great school. Great. You needed to know the material inside and out to be able to succeed in the test and everything.
I would have never made it.
There's some good support there. They helped out a lot.
I would have needed all the support. I would have needed someone taking the test for me.
Oh.
That's the type of support I would.
Right.
No, I applaud you. I think it's great that you've got Harvard in your background. I have one more question because I got to turn you loose. I've got 1 minute with you. How in the heck did you go through a full season at Coors Field and didn't give up a home run? This is maybe the most unbelievable stat I've ever heard. You pitched a full season there, right?
Yep.
Out of the bullpen.
Yep.
And not one home run.
I did get hurt. I was hurt for like 2 or 3 weeks in there with a
I don't care.
Strength,
2 or 3 week buffer.
I gave up some warning track. Couple real close to the fence. Fly balls. But I was just able to kind of keep my same repertoire there and was able to miss barrels for the most part there and had some great defense behind me for sure that helped. I didn't necessarily have a robbed home run, but guys chasing balls down in the outfield and great play in the infield. So definitely had a good defense behind me, but. It was one of those years I was able to keep the ball on the ground more and keep weak contact
awesome.
In the air.
That is awesome. All right, I got to turn you loose. The Lord is calling. He's got to go to Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
Promise me you'll come back.
Oh, yeah.
I need updated David Bell. Mm-hmm. I need an updated Derek Johnson. Yep. I need whoever else you're going to be working on. I know you're going to be working on the impressions.
I need to sharpen the tool shed. You're right. I need to sharpen the tools. So, I'll be back for sure. Thanks for having me. This has been great.
Harry Carey, thank you for hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day, Reds Nation.
Catch you next time on the Jim Day Podcast.
baseball present, baseball past. Gonna share a few stories, gonna have